Next, we have Miriam Noonan and from Exeter University, and she's going to tell us about the experience of informal caregivers of adults living with heart failure, COPD, and coronary artery disease.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Thank you for coming along. So just to give you a bit of background, I've completed 1 year of a PhD with the University of Exeter, and I'm also an occupational therapist and would have worked in primary care and mental health services. So I suppose just in terms of caregivers, I'm talking about unpaid carers, so I suppose predominantly family or friends. And in my role as an OT, I guess I always kind of thought that I would have been working with families, but actually if this review that I've done over the last year has taught me anything, is actually not really. I thought I was, but I actually wasn't really. So to just give a bit of context, we have 6.5 million people in the UK providing care for another person, and that's expected to rise to 9 million by 2037. And the estimated cost of what these unpaid carers provide is £132 billion, which is equivalent to the cost of the NHS spend. We're all aware of the prevalence of cardiovascular disease globally, and additionally COPD is expected to be one of the top five conditions by 2020. And the literature is telling us that cardiovascular disease and respiratory conditions are now, they do coexist, and it's becoming a bit more predominant. We also have legislation now which is stipulating the need to involve carers, so the 2014 Care Act, and then we have our NICE guidelines as well for heart failure and COPD, which stipulate the involvement as well of carers and family. I suppose we don't have any mixed methods review that actually looks at these three conditions and examines what is the caregiver's experiences. So that's basically what led me on to this specific systematic review. The kind of three pointers that I really wanted to kind of dig down to a little bit was actually what are carers' experiences of dealing with health professionals, I suppose coming from that background myself. What barriers and supports do they have in their role, and also to update the literature of what is happening right now for caregivers. So it's a mixed methods review. So why mixed methods? I suppose I wanted to get that holistic approach. So have, I suppose, the qualitative, that deeper dig, but also is quantitative research reflecting what's happening in qualitative research in terms of examining these experiences. So in terms of my protocol, it was people over 18 years of age, the heart failure, COPD, and coronary artery disease. I only looked at studies from higher income countries because I wanted to look at healthcare systems that we felt were kind of comparable to the UK, and I looked at English studies. So completed database searches on Medline, CINAHL, PsycINFO and Embase, and then I also looked at ProQuest for things like dissertations and thesis and the British Library as well. So in terms of analysing my data then, I would have used the CASP, the Critical Appraisal Skills Tool, for the qualitative papers and for the quantitative papers, because there was such a variety, it was difficult to just have one tool that would analyse them all. So in conjunction with my supervisors, we developed just a bespoke tool that would look at the core biases, so things like how was recruitment conducted, what was the attrition rate, what was the sample, what outcome measures were used. So we used those then to, appraise the quality of the data. And then the synthesis I'll talk about in a little minute. But so basically ended up with 8,024 papers after the search was conducted. Initially, we had talked about including stroke papers, but after conducting the title and abstract screening, I could see that actually there was quite a huge volume of systematic reviews already completed for caregivers of stroke patients. And even though it's a really valuable and important area, we just didn't think that it would add new knowledge to this specific review. So at that stage, we excluded stroke papers and ended up with 57 papers for synthesis, 22 qualitative papers, 34 quantitative and one mixed methods. The synthesis was really, really challenging, and I learned an awful lot from it. So it's difficult enough to synthesize one methodology, not in mind trying to bring them all together. So I conducted what is called a convergent synthesis. So it's basically where you transform one data set into another. So in this situation, because of the type of question I was asking and the type of data I was gathering, I decided it was going to be a narrative synthesis. So therefore, the quantitative papers were transformed into qualitative. So I ended up then having two qualitative data sets, which I then combined together and came up with emergent concepts. So first of all, just looking, I came up, 10 concepts emerged from the paper, from the papers, and there were 6 of them that were in both qualitative and quantitative. So mental health, so really the profound impact on caregivers' mental health, anxiety, worry, fear. There was quite a number that themselves were experiencing depression, and it remained the same throughout the period of study. Support, caregivers really predominantly reported negative experiences of support, feeling completely abandoned by healthcare services and left to just deal with the situation on their own. There were 2 positive papers that talked about caregiver experience with support, and those papers were actually services that provided usually a clinical nurse specialist who was available on the phone for the caregivers to contact. So I thought that was a really, really important point. Their role, so basically just the complete upheaval and change of what they once identified themselves as to what they now see themselves as. So caregivers spoke about, you know, reframing their identity, like, he was once my husband, now I feel like he's my a baby that I need to look after. Those were the kind of statements that people were saying. And that ties in with lifestyle change as well, where people might once have been quite social and gone out together and had hobbies. Now they felt like they were isolated, they were stuck in the house and had to give up quite a lot of their previous activities. Knowledge, this was really, really actually more key. It was important for all caregivers, but the caregivers of heart failure and COPD patients had a greater desire for this knowledge and information, and more so throughout the trajectory of the illness. So they all talked about needing it in hospital and acute events. But actually for the heart failure and COPD caregivers, they felt that even like after years, they still wanted knowledge and information because they felt that things were still happening that they just didn't know what to do. And then the relationship, and I touched on that a bit, of how the relationship has changed between the caregiver and the patient and the adjustment that that takes. And also in terms of relationship, how the caregivers are actually putting the patient's needs before their own. So their health needs come second. Again, a huge number of carers were not getting their own health checked out. They were putting it off and kicking it off down the line because the patient was the primary person. And then these qualitative ones, they were so, so important, I felt I had to include them. But interestingly, they didn't come up in the quantitative papers. So expert by experience, so that's where the caregivers, they can tell by a change in the patient's skin colour, by their mood that day, that actually they're not as well as they should be. And these are things that are being missed by healthcare professionals because we just don't know them as well as the caregivers do. And they're things that we need to start listening to. Time, so this was again kind of the trajectory of the illness and how caregivers adapted over time. Some coped better than others, and also looking towards the future and end of life as well. Shared care was where they worked together, so things like doing the dosset box for the medication, so doing that as a task together. And some caregivers actually talked about themselves and the patient as a we, and the illness as it or they, so it was kind of them against the illness. And then vigilance, where caregivers talked about actually lying awake at night to listen to hear if their loved one was breathing, or constantly watching them, so kind of directly watching them or covertly watching them, but just always having them in sight. So it kind of demonstrated how constant caregiving is. It's a 24/7 job. So I suppose just in terms of the strengths and limitations, it's a highly comprehensive mixed methods review. I looked at the literature 2 time points in December 2016 and August 2017 to make sure it was up to date. I suppose just in terms of limitations, because I wanted to find studies that were comparable with the UK and higher income countries, and only English language studies were included. So there's potentially studies that I am missing out on. And just the huge challenge of synthesizing mixed methods, it was a massive, massive learning curve for me of trying to put these two methodologies together. But it has been really interesting. I suppose just to conclude with, Agar describes caregiving as a diverse, individual and complex experience. And I think that this review does demonstrate that. It's really, really important for us as healthcare professionals and our management teams to understand these experiences so we can reflect on our approach when we're working with them. It certainly made me reflect on how I used to work with people. Caregiving can be a positive experience, and that did come up in the literature, but it was when the right support was in place. So that's, again, coming back to us as healthcare professionals supporting the caregivers. And really, really, my like number one key take-home message is that we have to involve caregivers in the intervention process. So just to acknowledge my supervisors, Professor Rod Taylor and Dr. Jenny Wingham, who's over there, and the evidence synthesis team in Exeter, and Dr. Ruth Garside. So thank you very much.